You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com, and we have turned the page to Super Bowl 52 week, so we'll try to go wall-to-wall on this game over the next 4 days, and we'll just give you all the information you need to know before doing anything on this game. We'll wait till Thursday to break down what we see in DFS on FanDuel and DraftKings, and maybe look at the point spread as well to see where we're headed there in that direction. But before, we need to have a good overview of the game, and I'll be headed up to Minneapolis, so I'll get some information there on the ground to see what we can find out about these teams. If we can get any insight in their game plans with the availability, we will do that. As more information, the better for your fantasy football team. So we'll dive right into it. I wrote a matchup there on SportingNews.com. You can check it out. Super Bowl 52. I broke down both teams throughout the game when they have the ball. So I'll run down what I kind of wrote on Sporting News today. It's kind of the kickoff of this week, and we'll get in more in depth by position, by team here as we go along leading up to those point values. But DFS is your last chance to play of the year, so definitely want in on this action. I would do multiple lineups in different ways, cash games and tournaments as much as you can, because this is it. You want to try to take advantage of what's available. Now, I started with when the Eagles have the ball. You can check this out on SportingNews.com and on me on Twitter and Facebook at Vinny Iyer to find out a little bit more about my content. But here, the story's been up for a while. You can check it out. Eagles running game, we have to start there. Jay Ajayi has looked really good here in the past several weeks for the Eagles. It's trending very nicely for him to be productive in this game. He had 21 touches there against the Vikings for 99 yards. So solid game there. I think he could have had a bigger game, but that's by design that the Eagles kind of take him out of the red zone. That's going to be the downside here for Ajayi. But in the full point PPR, we'll look at DraftKings a little deeper there. But Ajayi has a little bit more appeal there because he's going to be involved in the passing game. We know that. It'd be nice if he got a little bit of red zone love instead of LeGarrette Blount coming in and have a little bit of Corey Clement on those later downs. But he's been very productive there between the tackles and also running outside with Lane Johnson on the right side. That's a good matchup again with Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson and Travis Kelce on that right side against the Patriots front. The Eagles average 132.2 rushing yards per game, 4.5 yards per carry. It took a while for Ajayi to get going, but you've seen it, and they use him again as an all-purpose back. The Patriots really shut down Leonard Fournette, but it was a little bit easier because the Jaguars were a bit one-dimensional and didn't really stretch the field with their wide receivers they were taking. They can dig a duck. The Patriots could squeeze. The Eagles can't allow them to do that here. 4.7 yards per carry allowed by the Patriots this season in the regular season. So LeGarrette Blount, I don't know how much he's going to touch the ball, but I think if you're going to see him do some work, it's going to be trying to vulture touchdowns from Ajayi. They just like Blount a little bit better. I think they're following the misconception that he's the better power runner, but he has been able to score of late. He's not going to touch the ball as a receiver. We know that. So they want to save Ajayi for that part of the game, and the game flow could be where they got to get Ajayi on the field and Blount. If he's not in there scoring late, it's going to be more of an Ajayi and Clement show here as we go forward. So I really like the way this backfield can go, especially to the right side. I think running to the left is going to be a little hard because that's the strength of the Patriots' defense. They're a little bit beat up at linebacker, but it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think the strength on strength, but the Eagles have a little bit more strength. So the key is game flow here for Ajayi to get going, but you feel confident that he can do something in this game. Remember, he's had good yardage days. It'll be nice for him to reel off a long run and push into the end zone. He's overdue for that, for sure, as an Eagle here, and this is a perfect opportunity to do that against the Patriots team that can give up some long runs and has struggled with feature backs of his ilk this season. Now, we go to the passing game here of the Eagles, and it's the running game is going to be a patient source of offense for Doug Peterson, but ultimately they want to throw it downfield a little bit to soften the Patriots front and kind of spread things out and do it. So I don't think you'll see a lot of two tight ends there with Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. So that's going to help Ertz out there. And it's also obviously going to help Nelson Agholor and Torrey Smith be out in the field with Alshon Jeffrey. So Jeffrey, good battle there with Malcolm Butler. I think that's going to give him his best chance for success, but I think Stephon Gilmore could also be in a battle with him as well. Gilmore is a little bit bigger, but Jeffrey, I think they'll let one-on-one coverage go on Jeffrey. So Jeffrey and Gilmore, they were teammates there at South Carolina. That's going to be a great battle, but we know that Jeffrey can be uncoverable at times. He can go up and get the ball. It's a little easier to do that against Butler in this particular matchup because he's a little smaller, not as effective in coverage with his hands. So that's one thing you look at. And Zach Ertz, you look at possibly Noah Celek here, not getting too many snaps. Ertz, when they use him, they're not using him for run blocking. They want him to catch the football. The Patriots know this, and so you see Patrick Chung is a guy that they can help out on Zach Ertz. They also can mix it up and put Devin McCourty and Zach Ertz. I don't think they'll put either Butler on Gilmore. I don't think they're going to do that. They need those guys to at least take away one part. If it's not the Jeffrey long balls, then they have to make sure they don't give up Torrey Smith long balls. So I think they want to get rid of the intermediate routes. They want to force Nick Foles to throw downfield. I know he was very successful doing that against the Vikings in a very aggressive game plan, but it's not necessarily the high degree of difficulty the Eagles want. They want some easy throws for him as well. So the Patriots are going to try to make it hard as much as possible. But I think the ability to take away Smith with this one corner, whoever's left there on the outside, and then try to contain Ertz. The big question is going to be Nelson Agholor. Is he going to get free in the slot? Eric Rowe, the former Eagle, is in the slot. He's the worst defensive back the Patriots have. He did struggle there against Eric Decker in the first playoff game in the divisional round. Then he had more difficulties in the slot with the crossing routes for the Jaguars there for Rowe. So Rowe does have good size. That's going to help him a little bit with Agholor here. 6'1", 205, 6'01", 98 for Agholor. So that's going to be an intriguing matchup, but I would expect Agholor to win this matchup. He's got quickness and the speed. So Torrey Smith had the big play over two Vikings there, Trey Waynes and Harrison Smith, in the NFC Championship game. But in the Super Bowl, I think you look at Agholor maybe doing more damage here because Smith, I just don't think vertically he's going to beat Butler or Gilmore at all. So I expect Jeffrey and Agholor to be the main men here as they kind of take away the big shot to Torrey Smith. If they do that, that helps. So it's only one side of the field they're worried about the deep shot, and then they'll take away the intermediate routes with Ertz. So Ertz still athletic enough to make a lot of things happen here, and we know Patriots, for the most part, have been good against tight ends, but they can have some lapses. So Ertz will still get his targets, but I just feel a little bit better about Jeffrey and Agholor if you're going in the passing game here. If they're going to go with the backs, again, it's going to be more Ajayi and Clement. And the way the Patriots can move the ball, we'll get into them in a minute, then you feel good about the Eagles having a throw in the game flow favoring all their best pass-catching options. Now, up front, we look at the Eagles' offensive line. The left side is going to struggle a little bit because they got to deal with Trey Flowers both on early downs and there on third downs when he moves inside. So Vitae and Steven Wisniewski there are the left side. So a little bit different from the right side there with Brooks and Johnson. So Trey Flowers, very disruptive last year's Super Bowl against the Falcons, 2.5 sacks and Matt Ryan. He'll be put in positions to get to Foles as much as possible. He's their best pass rusher when a team is short on them in this game. So there's a good ability here to get some help for Vitae and Wisniewski, but Everson Griffen, I think Flowers is a better overall player because he's versatile. Griffin had a big season, but I think Flowers in this particular matchup can cause problems because he's a little bit quicker, where he's not going to just blow by these guys with his power. So a little bit finesse, a little bit of savvy there, and playing last year's Super Bowl is going to help, especially when he faced a pretty good Falcons offensive line in Super Bowl 51. Now, I mentioned Clement. He's a guy that I would watch as a wrinkle here that the Patriots will need to keep track of. They can get him out of the backfield. Think about what T.J. Yeldon and Corey Grant did last week for the Jaguars. That's how they're going to try to use Clement. Doug Peterson is not going to ignore that fact. So you'll see Clement get more touches than you think here ahead of Blount. So Blount, if you're thinking about him, the signs are pointing to maybe going in a different direction. Now, on the Patriots side of things, if you're looking for IDP, Patrick Chung should certainly be busy. But keep in mind that Chung did have an up-and-down game against the Jaguars. He's a typically solid guy that Bill Belichick likes, but if he's forced to come up and play the run as a linebacker, it's going to keep him out of position. That's going to help Ertz in this one. So that's something we're going to watch for in this game for sure, because that would open a lot of things for Foles if that Ertz connection gets going with Chung. So Chung's a bit of a wild card, but for now, you got to proceed with caution because of him and McCourty's ability against Ertz in coverage. Now, make sure you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On NFL Network. We got you covered with Locked On Eagles. That's a perfect show to listen to during Super Bowl week to get the dope on the NFC champions as they try to take down the big bad Patriots in Super Bowl 52. We also have our whole network where we've had the post reports from the Senior Bowl and going into free agency in the offseason. So there's only two teams left standing, but we're covering every team for you on the Locked On NFL Network. It's your beat report every day, every way possible in a convenient listening format. Now let's move on to the Patriots side of things here with what we have in their running game. And we know this running game has been pretty deep. It started out that way with Mike Gillisley being the power back, Rex Burkhead kind of the swing back. You had James White as the pure cast passing back. But when you look at the Deion Lewis emergence, he's got 25 touches more average in the last four games, including the playoffs. He still got 16 touches against the Jaguars. Even though he lost a fumble, they kept him in, and he got that 18-yard burst to make his day decent against the Jaguars. So he's just been good here because he gives the Patriots versatility when he's on the field. It's not a telegraphed passing situation with James White. It's not an obvious power back situation with Gillisley and more so with Burkhead out there. Even though Burkhead can catch the ball, Lewis just gives them a lot of versatility and the ability to create matchup nightmares when he gets an open field because he's 5'8", 185, very elusive back as well. So he gives the Patriots the best of all the worlds that they could expect, that they could power run him between the tackles if they need to and squeeze him through there, have him run the outside, and also stay in there and catch passes on early down. So this is a good situation here for Lewis to try to do some damage against his former team. So I think Lewis and White can do some things here because the Eagles we saw against Jerick McKinnon, they really struggled with those swing routes to those backs. McKinnon really ate them up. He was really the only option that worked for the Vikings, but that's going to make the better deal here for the Patriots guys because there's going to be a whole bunch of other things going on as well. Things that the Eagles are going to have to worry about downfield that open things up underneath, and not just for open field in the passing game, but in the running game as well for these backs. Now, you look at the Eagles, I think you're going to see them try to run to the left here. So we're going to see a lot of Patriots runs to the left while you see Eagles runs to the right here. James Devlin is a guy that you could see on the field a little bit more. That's going to be a good sign. If they can get him out there, build a lead here, and Lewis can be very productive. And we expect Rob Gronkowski to be cleared. And then you might see him and Dwayne Allen out there together in two tight end sets because both these guys are superior run blockers. They would get more bodies on these Eagles' fine defensive linemen, kind of wear them out a little bit. So I think Lewis will have some success. But the key here, again, is game flow for the Patriots, you trust that they'll be ahead a little bit more than Eagles in this game. So if they are ahead, they'll give Lewis the ball. They'll try to slow down the game. I think everyone thinks they're going to try to make it a back-and-forth shootout. That's not exactly what they want to do because they know the dangerous potential of the Eagles. They want to put this game in shortened as much as possible, and having the backs do that is going to be helpful. But I would expect they're not going to change the formula now. It's going to be a lot of Lewis and probably a little bit of White mixed in. Gillislee, I could easily see inactive for this game. So keep all that in mind. And Burkhead, I just can't see him getting too many touches after he was hardly involved in the AFC Championship game. Now, when you go to Tom Brady and what he's seen, he's taking up the volume. So as much as the Patriots would like to run it, maybe control things late, Brady has averaged more than 47 pass attempts per playoff game. We saw that last year. This year it's at 45, so very similar here so far through the two games. And the Eagles' pass rush is not as good as you think, even with names like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. They get the quarterback as much as the coaching staff wanted them to with Jim Schwartz, and you know they'll mostly try to rush four because they know it's a gone deal if they have to blitz Brady. We know how good he is against a blitz, so they're going to try to play coverage a little bit and not bring in extra guys. So when you look at playing coverage, they're going to try to stick with Patrick Robinson and Danny Amendola. I think it's the first guy that the Eagles have to take away among the wide receivers. Chris Hogan hasn't been much of a factor of late here on the outside. Brandon Cooks, they got to just trust one-on-one coverage with some help over the top. But Amendola is a guy they absolutely cannot let free. Good thing is Bradham is a very good cover man there on that side with Robinson. So there's ways to slow down Amendola. He's just so quick, tough matchup because he can get underneath, use his quickness, and find some open space there, a little bit of space to get open for Brady. So he's always the tough one here with no Julian Edelman, long gone with that injury. Here's Amendola's chance. They call him a Danny Playoff for a reason. So I still like Robinson maybe getting better than Amendola. Again, the key is trying to get him off the linebacker matchups as much as possible. So I'd really like the matchup if the Eagles put Jalen Mills on Brandon Cooks to go there a little bit more. Darby, I think, could give him a little bit more trouble, but I think Cooks will be busy here because Amendola, as good as he is, he's limited to being a slot guy, where Cooks, you can throw the short passes to get him involved. We've seen that flip pass that Brady throws right in front of him, and also the deep balls as well. So Amendola has a little bit more versatility, and I think, Cooks has a little bit more versatility than Amendola, so that really helps. But we know in the end, this is the Rob Gronkowski show. He should be clear to go here. And you look at the Eagles' pass, they let Travis Kelce and Jordan Reed, two similar guys to Gronk in terms of athleticism and size, have some big games against them this season. So the key is Eagles is somehow containing him. Try to get Malcolm Jenkins to at least push him around to slow down, but he can get downfield easily on Gronk. So that's how they're going to look to stretch the field. They're going to throw more short passes to Cooks here, I think, because of that pass rush. But Gronk is where they're going to look for the deep balls, even if Jenkins is on him tight. Even if there's a double coverage situation, Gronk will see the ball here. So that's going to be the rub there. You want to commit four guys to the rush and not blitz, and you absolutely cannot blitz because you have to worry about Gronk. So if you send Jenkins or somebody like that, you're in trouble to leave the middle of the field open. You really have to try to mix up things on Gronk with who you're covering, where you're covering them at, and try to keep the Patriots a little bit off balance with their number one target. But it's going to be hard. Jenkins, remember, 6'0", 204. He's going to be the primary cover guy, 6'6", 265. So look at the ability of Michael Kendricks. He's not that much bigger than Jenkins. So they might as well stick with Jenkins, try to get a double team at times. So the key there is just containing him from getting those big plays. But I could see him easily doing that in this game where 20 and 30 yards downfield, Gronk is running free here. So that's going to be the Eagles' biggest concern, possibly their biggest nightmare this game. Now, the Patriots, one thing we're going to watch for is Cameron Fleming at right tackle. He started over Adrian Waddle there, who's banged up against the Jaguars. I expect Fleming to be back in there because he's a better blocker. That's going to be a good battle because Graham and Long, they move up long around in pass rush situations, and then Graham goes inside. So Fleming's going to have to worry about both these guys. Graham and Long have been outstanding with their energy. And so no Marcus Cannon. They left them struggling to Adrian Waddle. Cannon was playing really well. So that's one weakness here with Fleming, but Fleming has done an adequate job. So we'll have to see that. But Tom Brady, we know. I would expect Tom Brady overall to be well protected in this game and get the ball out quickly. So similar. Looking at James White here. I mentioned James White earlier with the situation off Lewis. I think you'll see more of White in this one. Remember, Lewis got hurt in last year's game, so they used White in a bigger receiving role. He exploded in the game against the Falcons. He could be just as big as a factor. I think they'll use Lewis a little bit more because he's speedier in that McKinnon mold than White, but I think White will get his touches to be involved because, as I mentioned, they're going to need somebody to replace Amendola with their shorter passes, and White can create a better matchup against the Eagles linebackers than Amendola. So I think that's where they'll find that production that they usually get, and it's still going to be a lot of Cooks and Gronkowski here. For the Patriots, Derek Barnett, we look at him as being a guy that can disrupt things, but again, I expect Eagles to hope for the best from him in pass rush situations. But Brady, we know, very hard to sack, especially in this matchup against a team that not known for getting a lot to the quarterback. So when you look at it, I think it's going to be a nice high-scoring affair. That's the general feel of this game. And we'll dive right in later in the week to the pricing values and in relation to the other players, because that's what you're trying to do to build your lineup here, and we'll look at that a little bit later. So anyway, there you have it. There's the initial matchup look at Super Bowl 52. Like I said, we'll get deeper into the game, and very deep, when we get to our Thursday show to look at that and see what's going on with these teams and these prices on both FanDuel and DraftKings. So thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and check us out on our new format, Panoply, through Megaphone. We love being there. Locked On NFL Network is great. Check out all the great shows as well. Locked On NBA. We've got you covered through all that action in that league as well as we push to the All-Star break. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.